بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah Kahf is a surah that has been recommended to be recited on a Friday. Whether it is Thursday night, whether it is on the day of Friday. Overall, it is encouraged, emphasized to recite Surah Kahf. Similarly, it is also encouraged to recite Durood Sharif in abundance. These are small practices, but these small practices, they open the way to bigger favors and bigger ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person appreciates these things that seem to be smaller and sound to be very simple, then Allah ta'ala appreciates this. When he appreciates this, then he grants you the tawfiq to do things that are even greater. So these practices that seem to be small and insignificant, they need to be valued, they need to be appreciated. The important thing in this day and time is that we don't have the type of time management that we ought to have. And then at the various occasions, what is required of us? Morning, what is required? Evening, what is required? This day of the week, what is required? This time of the year, what is required? What is my age? And at the age that I am standing, and where do I stand? What portion of my life have I reached? So all these things one has to think about regularly. In the old days in Medina Munawwara, when a person would reach the age of 40, then he would give up all type of businesses and he will get into the search of the akhirat, the preparation of the akhirat. That used to be the mentality, that used to be the outlook. Now I'm 40, now I have to think of the last phase of my journey. Because the last phase of the journey can be from any time, 60 to 70 onwards, as it is predicted in the hadith, between Baina Sittina wa Sab'een, between 60 and 70 is the lifespan of my ummat. When I've reached 40, then I've finished two-thirds, now I'm the last span. Someone gets a bansela over 70, 75, 80, 85, that's over and extra, that is a perk. But really this is the average. When we work out the averages throughout the time, toward the different eras, then we find that the lifespan is between 60 and 70. So when this is your lifespan, and you reach up to this age, 40, then what are you supposed to be doing? Or you're nearing that age, then what are you supposed to be doing? So all these things, if they are thought of carefully, they are understood well, then we make preparations accordingly as well. And we don't think about these things carefully, then we just go in a system, carry on at a random. Randomly you'll be doing this, going here, going there. And before we know it, and our time is just used. I was just reading one article. There was a great Buzurg, Bahauddin Zakaria. He used to recite 360 khatams daily. 360 times the Quran Sharif daily. Yeah, someone recites the Quran Sharif, one Quran Sharif for the day, say, what a great thing. Here, 360 times the Quran Sharif daily. So this will be a type of a karamat, but that karamat is on account of what he had done previously. When you've been doing this constantly all the time, then Allah Ta'ala blesses you also. Like that, there were several people that used to recite the Quran Sharif once a day. Then there were those that used to be reciting the Quran Sharif 8 times a day, several people. But this was the record that I have seen, 360 in a single day. But there's a will, there's a way. and where you appreciate your time, Allah Ta'ala will grant it to you. Like Rasulullah SAW had covered that distance in that short time, that very short time, where he had covered that amount of distance. So what will you say? That's a karamat, that's a mu'jiza. When you talk of a Nabi, then you say it's a mu'jiza, that in that short duration he had covered Baytul Haram to Baytul Muqaddas and Baytul Muqaddas to above the seven heavens. And to Sidratul Muntaha and Sariul Aqlam and wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wanted him to be going up to. So in that short, short period of time, all that distance was covered. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam or Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam, it's recorded about one of them too in Bukhari Sharif, that he would ask for his horse to be saddled. And before the horse could be completely saddled, he would complete the Zabur from the beginning to the end. Just the saddling period and the whole Zabur used to be complete. Saddling, how long it will take? Perhaps 3 minutes. In that time, people use that as the mode of transport. I would feel it would be even more or less. 2 minutes and the whole thing is saddled. And in that duration, it's recorded in Bukhari Sharif, that he would complete the entire Zabur. All this is on account of correct time management. And this, what we need to understand is to understand, appreciate time. Ziyauddin Muqaddasi, I think it's him, report, no, Allama Turtushi. Allama Turtushi, he addressed his students and the people that used to listen to him, that he says, see, don't spend your time in mutual rivalry and in socializing. You see, most of our time and most of our effort and energy is in one of these two things, mutual rivalry or socializing. Go and meet him, go and talk to him here, go to this park here, go to the zoo here. Mustafa Rahmatullah used to say that when I come to South Africa, then they take me to the national park and the zoo and all that. But show me one insan, show me one army. You know, it's a very poor reflection. What I'm going to say now is going to be very bad for all of us. You see, who you have got a munasabat with, then you want to be with him. You have munasabat with insan, real, true, good insan, awliya, you want to be with them. And if you have munasabat with animals, then you want to be with them. If you got a temperance of meeting, then you want to be with them. So it's a very poor reflection. What he said speaks volumes, but it shows our temperaments. Now and then you see in 10 years, 20 years, you see there's a different thing. You haven't seen the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. But now every now and then go here, go here, go here. Become like a culture. And worse is this, that we don't understand the value of time. Value of time, we haven't understood it. Sometimes it's not, the time is not valued. Otherwise, we don't have the taste of ibadat. Sitting in one place and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completing the Quran Sharif, completing your zikr, completing the different ma'amulat. We didn't enjoy it yet. Now, because we didn't enjoy it, we're looking for enjoyment elsewhere. But if you got the taste for this, then you don't do anything else. So the taste has to be acquired. So you want something, you want to eat something, you need to acquire taste. That person who's on cigarettes, right? He's acquired the taste for it. When he's acquired a taste for it, now you'll be shocked when you hear that someone is telling you he takes 60 a day. But how are you managing 60 a day? No, he acquired a taste for it. Now you can't live without it. You can't get his sleep without it. But now you think a cigarette, and it's choking, smelling, and there's no good in it. Nicotine and cancerous and whatever. But he's acquired the taste for it. He can't sleep without it. So when a person acquires the taste for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he can't do without it. He can't sleep without it. In the pious amongst the past, there were numerous that used to complete 1,000 rakats a day. 1,000 rakats a day they used to be performing. Of recent, Mufti Sahib rahmatullahi, besides his tahajjud, awabin, ishaq and all that, he used to recite 100 rakats daily. How many of us do that? None of us. 100 rakats daily. Of recent, 96 he passed away. But daily we used to complete 100 rakats. Now how you achieve this? You achieve this when you appreciate time. If you don't appreciate time, then nothing can be happen. Nothing can be done. You see, Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, he wrote a kitab on Hajjatul Wida, Juz'u Hajjatul Wida. It's running approximately, now approximately 100 pages or less than 100 pages. But he did that whole kitab. That kitab is accepted in all madrasas everywhere. He did it in barely 24 hours. Unbelievable. Now, this is unbelievable. More unbelievable for us, because we've got the other type of life. Socializing, mixing, mutual rivalry. He's got this, what have I got? He's got this building, what have I got? So that mutual rivalry. Allah complains about it. أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ. The mutual rivalry in piling wealth has distracted you from your real cause, from the real focus, the real goals. The mutual rivalry in piling up, whether it is wealth, whether it's anything else material, but that has already, it's consumed you. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you have reached the qabristan. There's three different tafsirs for this, but I just want to show you one aspect, one dimension. Until you reach the qabristan, all the time has been consumed, eaten up. What have you got? At the end of the day, you have to calculate. I don't say don't have any recreation in your life, don't enjoy yourself, I don't say that. But then, to get into that rut, to get into that culture that you must have it, that is a reflection of your inner self. It reflects that inner self is not made yet. The taste of ibadat is not yet acquired. Enjoyment, you haven't experienced, you haven't got the sweetness. مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. You got these three traits, then you have got the halawat, the taste of iman. So this taste of iman, that is what is required, what is supposed to be got. These Buzurgan Adin, you hear of them, 100,000 zikr to make daily was a routine. Was a routine to make 100,000 zikr. How they did, Allah knows. So Allah Ta'ala grant us that value, that appreciation for time. And I see young people, then I become envious that you got youth on your side. You have got strength, you have got youth, you've got everything. And gosh, if only you could value that youth. Haji Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Jawani gayi, zindagani gayi. When your youth is gone, your life is gone. Now all you can say is Layta shababa ya'ud. If only my youth could be just restored, my youth could be just returned and reversed back to me. That's the only thing you can say. But it's gone, it's out of your hand, it's out, gone, khalas. So what you can achieve in your youth, you can't achieve afterwards. And that is why Allah Pak likes that ibadat of the youth most. Man is sitting in his mitai shop and is making one khatam daily. How he did it? In his mitai shop, he's sitting and he is completing one khatam daily, passing on the sawab to his father. How he did it? He did it. The fact is that he did it, but how he did it? There were several muhaddiseen. One was Karima bint Ahmad, woman. She's like amongst the teachers of Imam Bukhari, not direct or indirect, of the teachers of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. But her students say that as we used to attend her dars, her lessons, starting after Fajr, that she used to be reciting Surah Fatiha. And by Maghrib time, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, the whole thing is complete. Woman is putting you away. A woman is putting us away. What else you want? So all this is acquired only on account of one thing, and that is the correct management, appreciation of time. So this Allama Turtushi, he says, that, see, don't let your time be eaten by one of these two factors, mutual rivalry or socializing. Socializing, ikhtilat, the word it's used, ikhtilat, you know, socializing. Right? Because Allah Pak says, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحَدًا. One who longs, يَرْجُو has different shades of meaning. one shade is also who longs, who yearns to meet Allah Ta'ala. You say you long to meet Allah Ta'ala, you love Allah Ta'ala. So when you say you love Allah Ta'ala, then you want to meet the one that you love. You say you love your wife, and you don't want to see her for 50 years. Yeah? Is that love? Not love. I can't hold it. I think I've just ended now. Can't hold it any longer. Now, how? When? Etikaf is still ending and you're still making the telephones. You better see everything is right. Man kana yarju liqa'a rabbi. Man kana yarju liqa'a rabbi. This is what is called yearning. This is what is called longing. You're longing, you're pining. Wife is wife, even a child. You didn't see that child. You want to see the child. You're pining to see him. So, you're pining to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that pining, that yearning, that longing is true, then فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحْدًا. So he says, don't waste your time in these things. Now he is a man that has seen generations, seen time. He's seen people, he's seen how time is wasted, and how time is appreciated, how time is exploited, and how time is destroyed. He's seen both. When he's seen both, now he's telling you, I've seen all these things here. No, don't you waste your time. We've experimented it, we've tried it out, all everything we've seen. But now I'm giving you a golden piece of advice. I'm giving you one line that is more valuable than everything in the world. But don't waste your time. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Do righteous works. And don't include anybody in the worship of your Rabb. When you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let it be pure, let it be sincere, let it be exclusively done for him. Not join anybody, don't include and admit anybody into the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, we are talking about this people of the Kahf, the people of the cave. See, cave and Kahf, how close it is. Eh? So it's likely that they've got it from Arabic originally. So, at the time of fitna, you know, there's a wholesale confusion, corruption going around, and really you don't know whether you are coming or going, you don't know whether people are coming and going, what to do? Someone is saying something else, someone is saying something. So what do you do in that situation? You know, it's so much of confusion, so much of complication. The right seems to be wrong, the wrong seems to be right. So everything is getting muddled up. When it's getting muddled up, then what direction do you do? What's there? What's there for man? What is the path of safety? What is the path of security? What is the salvation? What is man's refuge? Where must he take asylum? So the surah, Rasulullah assures us, the one that recites the surah, Allah Ta'ala will grant him protection against fitnas. Even if Dajjal has to appear, he will be protected against that. How it sets you thinking that what is the relationship between the recitation of Surah Kahf and protection against fitna? What is the relation? There must be some relation. Rasulullah says something, then he's saying something with sight. He's saying something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying something that is divine. So there must be a relationship. The recitation of Surah Kahf and protection against fitna. There must be something. Though it is from the tongue of Rasulullah Pak Sursam, but it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there must be some relationship in the recitation of the Surah Kahf and guarding yourself and protecting yourself against fitna. Here we are servants of the wording of Rasulullah Pak Sursam, the wording of Allah ta'ala. We're not the servants and the slaves of our brains. Sometimes it happens that we hear something, we want to subject it to our reasoning and our logic. When it's acceptable to our reasoning and logic, then we listen to it, otherwise we don't. Now, there's two answers to this. One answer is that which two people will you find that think identically the same? Can you find two people identically in every respect? Oh, you can't find two people that will think identical in every respect. There must be a difference. Then whose brains will be the standard? That you think so diverse. You look into a home, wife thinks differently, the husband thinks differently. Wife's taste is different, husband's taste is different. She's drinking coffee, so you want tea. You want milkshakes, so she wants juice. So both are different. Taste is different, understanding is different, reasoning is different. So when there's such a big diversity in your thinking and your reasoning, then who's going to be the standard? So that's the first answer. And the second answer is simple. The second answer is just look at it. We aren't slaves of our reasoning. We aren't slaves of our intellect. We aren't slaves of human intellect. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he says, we will do, we'll go. That's the standard. And we don't need to have any explanation beyond that. And if we want and we demand an explanation beyond that, then really our love is not true. Your wife phones you up. You go on for 4 months, 4 months, 6 months in Jamaat, whatever it is. And now she phones you up or you phone her. And you ask what she wants, you know. Hey, I want a bouquet of flowers. How much? About 500 rand. Darling, but is that really needed now? 500 rand is going to throw in the basket. 500 rand, what are you going to get out of it? Do you talk like that? You don't talk like that. Do you talk like that? I mean, anybody who's got real love, does he talk like that? He doesn't talk. Can you give me an intellectual reasoning? What are you going to do with this flower? Philosophy? What's the philosophy behind this? Do you say that? No. And if you want to know the philosophy, the intelligence behind it, why your love is not right. For that small little thing like that, right? It's going to become old, become a hag one day. Eh? Teeth will be all broken down one day. For that you're going to spend so much, and you don't want any philosophy, you don't want any wisdom, any intelligence to come between you and her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the creator of all this. There you want to know of reasoning and philosophy and understanding. Is that fair? Oh, there you just give up your intelligence. Allah, when I make sajda to you, what I'm saying to you, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I surrender not only myself, even my intelligence to you. What you will say, then I will do. I just do and die. No, who and not who and why. I will just do and die. I surrender my intelligence, my philosophy, my reasoning, my brains, everything to you. Man can cure you, he can satisfy you physically, right? But spiritually, can man give you satisfaction? Physically, he can give you the satisfaction physically, food, comfort, but mental and spiritual, that is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will give you emotional and spiritual satisfaction. Otherwise, you won't find the rest dependent on sleeping tablets. The rest, 80%, 90% is dependent on that. Out of Islam, you've got nothing to satisfy you. You've got everything. Physically, you've got everything. Materially, you've got everything. But you don't have the spiritual dimension. As a result, the inner self is void, it's hollow. You don't have that satisfaction. And our condition is such that you're sitting in a bayan, and the sleep is coming, and you say, just hold it now, just hold it. Let the bayan get over, then you can come. So now I want to come, I want to come. You see, so what of satisfaction? Doesn't it happen? It happens. So there's a relationship in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he says that this is the effect, this is going to be the solution, this is going to be the answer, there is an effect, there's a relationship. Though we don't know it, and why should we know it? Who are we that we need to know what's behind it? The boss tells the garden boy, you know, I've got a letter, and we need to just deliver it, or just post it to the post box. So he sits down, says, boss, but what's the contents of the letter? What's the philosophy behind this letter? And who's the message for? Now the boss is talking to his wife, some love letter. Can you give all the secrets of it? No, but you just do your job. You don't ask me my personal matters. Whereas you're dependent on that worker of yours. Allah Pak doesn't depend, he doesn't depend on you. He doesn't depend on you. Here you can't withstand this, that your worker must ask you your personal things. Your personal life, he must ask you. You can't stand it. Now, I need to know the philosophy. I need to. Why must I do this work? You must go there, go and pose a scrap piece of paper and all that. What must I do all this for? What's the wisdom? What's the philosophy? Can you give me an intellectual reasoning? What must I go for? What must I do for? It's personal. You just go and deliver this letter and come. If you know what's good for you, and if you love your job, then just go and do this. Otherwise, we'll replace you always. So this type of questions, just forget it. Right? Simple way of forgetting it is in your mind, just read La Hawla Wa La Quwwata Illa Billah. that any good comes, it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and evil is avoided by the will of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, I can't do it, Allah ta'ala, you'll do it. So you guard me against the evil, and you grant me the good. You grant me good, and you just absorb your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you see all these things will just get expelled itself. We are human, we are subject to earthly conditions. So these things will come about. Allah, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, that you see when these suspicions and these doubts, when they come in the initial stages, then they are like those small snakes that have just hatched out. Then it's very easy, simple to smash it down, khalas. They came out, they just hatched out, now smash it down. But when they grow through pythons, now you try and smash it down, it's impossible, that thing will smash you down. It's dangerous now, it's beyond your control. So these small doubts that you have, the simple solution is, do these two steps, take these two steps. The first step is, you implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, ask Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, I came from you, I'm ending up by you. Don't you see, so many people come from the university, sometimes it is professional people, but they've got doubts, their minds are not cured yet. Sometimes they're sitting here, coming for namaz, but after 1-2 years, they say, hey, you know, when I got this doubt, infinity, I've got this doubt, where everything started from. What's behind this? They are trained to think like that, until they put the iman onto suspense. Iman is suspended. And then they can't speak about it because they feel that it will be an embarrassment. Not people will talk about me. You know, they can't speak about it and they can't swallow it as well. Now the iman is on the edge now. So the one thing is to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read namaz, or whatever, whichever way, but ask Allah ta'ala's help all the time. Ask Allah ta'ala's help. And the second thing is that you sit in the company of mashayikh and ulama'i kiram that are more over-focused to the hereafter. You find all types of people in this world today. Someone got some different orientation, someone got different outlook. But those that are connected to the hereafter, no material, no commercial, just to Allah ta'ala all the time. Akhirat all the time. That's the connection. That's where the focus is. So when their focus is there, then they will take you also there. Their focus is there. They will take you there. And if their focus is not there, then they will take you elsewhere. If their focus is to the hereafter, their focus is to the akhirat, they will take you there. That is why Allama Shami rahmatullahi qurwan masla in his kitab, that if someone made a nazar, you know, someone made a nazar that I have got so much of wealth and I want all my wealth, he's making a nazar, he's making a vow, you know, that my wealth must be given to the most intelligent person, then who must it be given to? What he says, that I want my wealth to be spent upon the one that is most intelligent, then who must that wealth be spent upon? I'm going to switch on the light. So he says, it must be spent upon those people who are most focused to the hereafter and they are least concerned about the world. They are most focused to the hereafter and they are least concerned about the world, most interested in the hereafter and least interested or disinterested in this world. So that is now the sign of intelligence. That is the sign of philosophy, wisdom, intelligence, understanding. See that? This is the standards that were prepared by Allah Ta'ala, by His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The whole focus is there and you're disinterested. Because you're going in that and you say you love. Then when you love, then you want to meet the one that you love. You say you like, you say you love and he's the most beloved. Then you want to meet, you want to be there. So we're coming back to this people of the Kahf, and I explained that when you have got these doubts, you know, these doubts, then there is a procedure in this world. In everything in this life, Allah Ta'ala has created procedure. You fall sick, then there's a procedure. You follow the procedure, you'll find cure. Right? You're feeling cold, there's a procedure. Follow the procedure, inshallah, you'll feel warm. Feeling thirsty, there's a procedure. For everything, Allah Ta'ala has created procedures. You follow the procedure, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, you may come right. But now you don't follow the procedure, then this displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In material, you can follow procedure, don't you? In education, don't you follow procedure? In material progress, don't you follow procedure? Then in deen, can't you follow procedure? You are stormed with doubts, with suspicions about your own deen and religion. Then you follow procedure. You follow procedure, Allah Ta'ala will show you a solution. But you don't follow procedure, then you're asking for problems. Then Allah Ta'ala has created this world with cause and effect. You follow the procedure, then He will find a solution for you. But you're not following that procedure. Anything comes in front of you, you want to take it, grasp it. In dunya matters, in material things, you want to follow procedure. No. I need to get my child to become an engineer, for example. You follow procedure. The child may cry and may shout, says to the father, that what is the relationship in me is making scratches in the book and becoming an engineer? What's the relationship? You know, son, you won't understand that now. You just go to school, make those scratches. One day you'll understand this thing here. Abba, when I'll understand? 1 year passed, what when I'll understand? 2 years passed, when I'll understand? After 15 years, now he starts seeing, he sees light, and he sees the money that is revolving around that engineering. Oh, Abba, this is what you referred to. Why didn't you tell me that time? But you were too small that time. You couldn't understand, you couldn't comprehend at that time. Now you understand it. You were too small at that time, you were too naive at that time. So Jannat and Jahannam are realities. You don't understand them now. You don't understand the relationship between namaz and righteousness and Jannat now, because you are too small. Understanding is too weak. But you follow procedure, that conviction of Jannat will come to you. The conviction of adab will come to you. Respect will come to you. Everything will fall in place. But follow procedure. You know, I relate one incident. Sabak Tagi is one of the rulers of India. So his son had some serious doubts, serious suspicions, doubts, three. One was, did his mother, that is the queen now, the queen, that is his mother, betrayed the father, that is the king. Imagine now, you're big now, 19, 20 years of age, and you got the doubt about your father and your mother. Mother let down my father, he betrayed. I don't think I'm of the original stock. Just came in somehow, by mistake. Someone else's mistake and I landed up here. Right? So now that doubt is implanted into his heart and the doubt cannot be expelled. You see, when there's a lot of fitna and corruption, all type of things happen. Hazrat used to say in one poetry, Zamana ki tarak, no, science ki tarakki ko dekho. What? Science ki tarakki ko dekho. Ke jisko beta samaj rahe the, wo bhatija nikla. Science ki tarakki. Everything is so progressive. You were thinking, you considered that to be your son, it turned out to be your nephew. All these things happen, but we don't follow Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't follow our brains and our intelligence. No, what's wrong in this, what's wrong in this, what's wrong in this? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just do this. Just do this, make that parda, and keep the barrier between you and your brother-in-laws, etc. Just do it. Don't ask about it. Just do it, and you'll find the good of it. You'll understand the good after many years. No, I must mix up, must socialize. And then when the wrong takes place, then who's going to face the music? As Sabrahman once explained, one villager used to come to him. This villager, some of them, they're well screwed, very, very intelligent people. Though they're very simple in their ways. So, this villager used to come to Ustaz Rahmatullahi and he says, ek masla puchna, I need to ask for masla. Ya zarur pucho, kya masla hai? He says, my brother and my wife, they talk very informally. Now, the villager, he himself is about 50 and his youngest brother is about 13, 14. So he said, no, they talk very informally. Sometimes he says, you know, when they joke, he says, mari de, you know, like that. So Mufsab Rahmatullah wanted to test the water. What is this villager talking about? He's got some other agenda. What's the true story? So the villager, Mufsab asked the villager, what's wrong if they talk informally? What's wrong? Just to test the villager out. What's wrong if they talk informally? So he turned around and said, ना मुलाना ना, मालूम नहीं कब करंट आ जाए. No, it can't happen. We don't know when the current will just strike. When the current will strike, we don't know about it. So rather, they keep the distance. You see that he also understands that there is a current that's running. It seems to be dead now, but you don't know when that thing will become life. You know when they have this interruption, when they say, treat it as alive. Don't they write there, treat it as alive. So you must treat that person as alive. When he's about 10, 11, you must treat him as alive. You're going to treat him as dead, and the life comes in him. You're in problems, you're in serious problems. Maulana Jamshed, who's now one of the Akabirs in Raivind, right? So he was here in Spingo Beach some many years ago, maybe some 12, 13 years ago. So he got a little bit friendly with me. And he started speaking about Hazrat Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and all that, that he was in Thanabon and he used to be doing all the domestic work. Right up to 9, 10 years of age, they don't have the municipal water and all that, so you have to take up water. But they're living on the first floor, so he used to carry up the water and deliver it in Hazrat Mohammad Thami's home. So he was young now, 9, 10, taking up small buckets all the time. It was a small thing for him. Now when he reached 11, Hazrat Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi asked him, Sahib Zadeh, out of love, you know, my son, kya umar ho gayi? What's your age now? So I explained 11, but I understood the message after that. Straight away understood the message. Understanding person, right? Understood the message. I should then take the water and leave it on the doorstep and I would announce that pani aa gaya hai, utha karke poncha diya jaye. Water has come, now it can be taken through. See that? Now these are the shari laws, tilka hududullah. These are the limits of the sharia. Just follow it simply, be a simple person. When it comes to your deen, just do it. Don't ask. And you'll find the beauty, you'll find the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, if someone just does it without asking, without questioning, he will enjoy it. He will find enjoyment, inner enjoyment. It's a command of Allah that I don't need to know. Allah, I don't need to know. You explain it to me, then it's a bonus. It's a perk that you explain it to me, the wisdom and the philosophy behind it. But really, I'm your servant. You tell me and I will do it. I don't need to know the reason. Now that's love. That's muhabbat. See. So these doubts, this suspicion, he had this doubt about his own mother, that the mother must have betrayed the father. Now, when you got this type of doubts, then it is difficult to extract. Some people have mental problems. Every small thing is a doubt, suspicion. Every small thing, little thing is a suspicion. Or they were talking to each other. What are they talking? Or they conspiring against me. So every small thing becomes a doubt for them. The second doubt that he had was al-ulama'u hum warathatul anbiya. Ulama are the heirs of the Anbiya alayhi salam, right? So he says, when I came across this hadith, although it's an authentic, reliable hadith, Abu Dawud, everybody reports the hadith. So he says that the doubt went into my mind that ulama have faked up this hadith for their own comfort, for their own ease, that people may respect them, they may show them consideration, respect, honor, etc. So they faked up this hadith. So this was the second doubt that had passed my mind. And the third doubt that was passing my mind was about the day of Qiyamah, that when we are decomposed, we are disintegrated, mixed up with the soil, there's no trace of humanity after that, then will we be raised back to life? Now this was the third doubt. Instead of thinking that the one that brought you out of non-existence, now think all that are seated here, right? 70 years ago, anybody was here? None of us were here 70 years ago. And inshallah, 70 years from now, I don't think anybody will be here. 70 years from now, all gone again. But he brought us from non-existence. For him to bring us again from non-existence, is it impossible? Is it difficult? He brought us up, and he brought us up from non-existence. So when you have already existed, for him to bring you back, and now with all his DNA and his cells and all whatever happens, small little cell, and they can bring that man back, or bring that animal back. Now it's all the more simple to understand that there is that recreation. Allah Ta'ala will bring back things to life. Anyway, he says this, three doubts were bugging my mind. I couldn't just release myself of this. I couldn't relieve myself of it. This is bugging my mind. It happened that the king's procession was passing by. Olden days now, 800-900 years ago, and the king's procession is going by. And obviously they didn't have electricity and the type of motor cars and all that what we have today. So they would have portable lamps. So there's a big procession, security, bodyguards, guards, all that, you know. So it'll be a big, big procession. So the king has to travel by night now, and it's all bodyguards, security, they've got the lamps and all that. On the edge of the road, there is one student that is studying his kitab. With the blessing of the king's lamps, he's studying his kitab. He's not worried who's coming and who's going. He's not worried about the tamasha and the show there. He is concerned, I must get my mutala done here. My mutala must be done before this procession moves. So what's happening, the thing is about 1.5 kilometers, the whole procession. And I've seen something like this. In Delhi, those days when I should be traveling, you'll see a wedding procession, 1 kilometer, no exaggeration. Horse there, one camel there, one elephant there, not what. Big show they have, you see. So obviously now, when the kings and all that, they will do it to their level. A small person getting married, and he's doing it to his level. So for a person like me, it's believable because I saw these things here. When I saw it, it's not difficult for me to believe. Right? 1.5 kilometers. Right? The student in the light of that lamp, portable lamp, is studying. Now this Sabaktagi's child who had these doubts, the prince, he saw the student and he saw all this thing that was going on. He's jumping from one point to the other. For half an hour he sits here, then he's jumping. And for half an hour he sits and he's jumping again. Then he took pity for him. Said, this person is studying deen. I'm not studying it. Let us at least benefit this person. Let us at least cooperate with this person, help him out. If I'm not doing it, all right, I'm not doing it. It's a bad thing I'm doing. I'm not learning. But this person is doing it. Let me cooperate with him. Let me help him out. So that whole golden lamp that he gave it to the child, the youngster, right? You know, what you're doing is great. You carry on your work. Gave it to him. At night, he sees Hazrat Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his dream. The Sabaktagi's son, first doubt smashed, right? Sabaktagi's son, right? The first doubt is smashed down. You have honored a Warisul Anbiya. Second doubt is smashed. In one sentence, Sabaktagi's son, first doubt is smashed down. Second doubt, you have respected a Warisul Anbiya. Second doubt is smashed. So you will be honored on the day of Qiyamah. Third doubt is smashed. In one sentence. But now this is following procedure. See, the whole secret here was that he followed procedure. He didn't go and do things randomly. Right, doubts and all this, ulama is speaking all stupid, all nonsense and all. No. Let me go and talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg him. The people that know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahmanu fas'al bihi khabira. Ar-Rahmanu fas'al bihi khabira. You want to know about the gracious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then ask a person that is acquainted with Rahman. That is procedure. You want to know about medical science, you ask a doctor. You want to know about legal advice, you go to an advocate, don't you? That's procedure then. So Allah Pak likes us to follow the procedure. Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabir. You want to know about Allah Ta'ala, then ask a person that is well acquainted. He's connected. He's focused the hereafter. He's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's there. He's there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So you go and sit by him. You'll find mountains of doubts will all be smashed down. But now you keep it to yourself, you don't relate. And you're too embarrassed to go and discuss, then you will die with that embarrassment. You will live with that disgrace, you will live with that humiliation. But you go and ask some alim, and have that mind to accept. Don't have that naive mind. Don't have that closed mind. Don't have that prejudice in you. You have that open mind, Allah will open your mind. But you are naive, you are proud, arrogant, you are prejudiced, then the mind will never open out. It won't open out because you're already prejudiced, you're preconceived already. So how is the doubt going to be expelled from your mind? Ar-Rahmanu fas'al bihi khabira. You see these doubts and suspicions. It's a big problem, very, very big problem. You don't go and experiment with these things. Reading books, reading novels, or reading, going into sites and all that. And you are not very well equipped yourself. And you go and experiment with these things. The problem may be, the danger may be, that you may be injected with some of that venom. And for you to flush that venom out of your system, may be impossible. You can't get it out. we're trying, going from one place to the other. That thing is inside my mind, it's deep now, and I can't flush it out. But why did you go and experiment with this? But nonetheless, if you went and experimented, you went that way, then at least follow the right procedure, and you'll come right. Just now it was in the holidays, I think. Yeah. One person came, he was a fourth year law student. And he says, I got all doubts about Islam and what he's got. Wearing a kurta, serious doubts. I don't believe in these things. I'm just doing it for family reasons. A little bit of beer. Took me about, alhamdulillah, by the fazl of Allah, I can only attribute it. Took me about half an hour. And he says, Mullah, for the first day now, my mind is absolutely clear. In so many years, the first day now, my mind is absolutely clear. But this person, I will praise him more than myself, that he was stuck up with this thing. He had the heart, he had that humility to come and ask, to find out. I'm stuck up with this. My beliefs are getting shattered. It is already shattered. I don't believe in it. But if there is any explanation to this, then can you give me that explanation? Alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, his mind got cleared. Now he phones up occasionally. But what I want to show you, you follow the procedure, you are sincere, you go down on your knees and beg Allah will definitely open the road. But you stay with that, and you expect your mind to get clear, then you're asking for an impossible thing. It may happen as a karamat, but it doesn't generally happen. See, faith and belief is a very sensitive thing. If that is corrupt, all your deeds are corrupt. Not a single deed of yours is corrupt. If your deeds, you're going off on your deeds, someone is drinking or someone is drugging, but his beliefs are right, the possibility of the person going to Jannah is still there. But this person is impossible. His beliefs are corrupt. It's not a license to drug. It's not a license to do wrong. He will get punished for what he's doing. But eventually he'll come out, he'll get bailed out. Because his faith was right, his beliefs were right. But the one whose beliefs are all upside down, and he's reading all this type of material, he's getting his faith more and more complicated. And he begins to believe in that nonsense. Then how do you expect him to get salvation? How do you expect that to happen? So this belief, this faith, this iman, and all those aspects that relate to iman is a very sensitive thing. You know, the more sensitive, then the more cautious you become, right? Because it's a sensitive thing. A heart is a very sensitive thing. So you are prepared to pay $500,000 to get that right, aren't you? Heart. It's very sensitive. It is the nucleus of your entire function. So you're prepared to pay $500,000, $1,000,000. Don't you see that happening all the time? So in your entire system, the most important thing is iman. So how careful, how cautious you're supposed to be when it relates to your iman. Now you find one scrap piece of paper here, there, wherever, pamphlet, some magazine, some radio, some internet, and all that is making your faith. No, you've gone the wrong way. Definitely you've gone the wrong way. You don't know. One is now in conflict with the other. One is saying like this and one is saying the other. Are you trying to work it out? And you say, no, I can read between the lines. Remember, in this world, nobody is prepared to call himself a stupid. Everybody will say, no, I'm intelligent. Everybody will say that I'm intelligent. Do you find anybody who is prepared to say, no, I'm backwards, I'm mentally disturbed. No, I'm very intelligent, I'm capable, I can manage things myself. Everybody feels the same. Sometimes you get an answer in a pamphlet or in a newspaper or on the radio or on the side. It's because of the circumstance, you see. It's because of a circumstance that the answer was tailored in a certain way. One person comes to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he asks him, how about kissing whilst one's fasting? So Abdullah ibn Abbas is totally permissible for you. Another person comes, say, how about kissing whilst one is fasting? No, totally, it's out of question, don't even talk about it. Now the students are asking, hey, this person you allowed, totally permissible, this person you say is not permissible. How do you reconcile? What was the reason for preference here? What's the disparity? So he says, don't you see those two people? Do you see? So no, yeah, we see a remarkable difference in the ages. This person is 19, that person is 90. Look at it, the person that is 90, he's got anything left in him. Kuch nahi, he's gone, finished.
jo tha bhi wo bhi khatam ho gaya, it's finished now. And the one that is 19, one thing will lead to the other just now. Just now he'll be there just now. He'll be in haram just now. This person is 90 already. You can't even imagine that he'll go so far. He doesn't, if he wants to go, so he doesn't have the strength. Finish. So I told you it's permissible for him. For him, it's not permissible. So the answer is being tailored because of circumstance. You see. One person is asking about murder. No, Allah Pak will forgive you. Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. Don't worry, Allah Pak will forgive you. Other person, don't even contemplate. Unpardonable sin. Never, don't even think of coming close to it. Now the student is asking, what happened, Hazrat? Murder, and you say, yeah, you say Allah Pak Ghafoor Rahim, Allah will forgive everything. By going to see, the, going to study the case. This person committed murder, and he's reached the point of despondency, that it's unpardonable. So I told him, don't think like that. Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim. Islam got no thing like despondency. Only the people of Jahannam, kuffars that are in Jahannam, they are despondent. Shaitan becomes despondent. But a Muslim, as long as he's alive, no matter what happened, there's no such a thing like despair, despondency. Even if you're languishing in prison, no despondency, don't worry. Allah Pak will forgive you. You turn to him, he will forgive you. Maybe you go through some suffering in this world, difficulty, but Allah Pak will give you Jannat. Allah Pak will forgive you. He'll open the doors. Why are you worried about it? Go through a little bit of difficulty. Look at Bilal, Ammar ibn Yasir, Sumayya. Now what difficulties they had gone through. So Allah Pak will bless you, he'll forgive you, he will take you right. So there wasn't any road for despondency. But this person here, he was contemplating murdering. He was conspiring to murder. So I couldn't tell you, Allah Pak is Ghafoor Rahim, and Allah Pak will forgive you. So I had to tailor the answer differently here. Tailor the answer differently here. See. Now how it has to be tailored, you look at the person. So the way of the self was the same, that you would go and ask, you would write or you would go and ask. Now the person is writing, and it's taking 5 days to reach, 10 days to come back, finding out more or less what is the type of a person, what is asked, what is the background. Now the answer is being written accordingly, and given to the person. Now there isn't any confusion. There isn't any complication. Now we are too lazy, we are too relaxed. Like in our zakat, we're too relaxed. Yeah, just want to pay out my zakat. Just pay out my zakat, do this. Whereas the spirit of zakat is being lost. Go and find out recipients, find out talk, find out that is my faraz. I have to go see that it's going to the right recipient. Similarly, here also it's our deen. In Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah alayh, he's a contemporary of Hasan Basri, rahmatullah alayh. He was amongst the leaders of the tabi'in, student of Anas radiyallahu anhu. And he says, in the hazal ilma deenukum. You see, this deen is not a plaything. It's not a thing to be taken lightly. It's your deen. What is this ilm? Knowledge, what is it? Knowledge is your deen. When it's your deen, then fanzuru amman ta'khuzuna deenakum. You better be very careful, very, very wary from where you're acquiring this deen. Allah